Today, I feel like God is saying particular things at this season to his church. Who is his church? I am, right? I am the church. So I acknowledge today's exhortation message seems more like a plea. I felt like God just pulled me over, and I started crying again this morning. Pulled me over and said, I'm pleading for this. I'm begging for this morning. Okay. Sometimes I can't stay there too long because it just wrecks me. My favorite time of the week is Sunday. Nothing personal, but when Dr. Heidi and Kirsten leave the house, and it's just mine, me and worship and Jesus, I can have church all by myself, you know. But I felt him again. It's like a mandate, a plea. On paper, it's a very short message this morning. It's not going to be typical. It's more of a VIP meditation we're all going to go through together. Yeah. So here's your warning. I will be using some of the most read scripture, possibly the most quoted scripture, and the most familiar passages in God's word. But I'm beginning to wonder if it's the least practiced. It's the most familiar, but I wonder if it's the least practiced. Yeah. Also, it's so familiar, you might get a tendency to get bored this morning. The next few weeks won't be my typical style. My hope this morning is, Don't let it all be so familiar that you don't take the time to really inspect your own heart. Don't sit there and inspect your spouse's heart. Don't inspect your kid's heart. Don't inspect pastor's heart. Don't inspect the guy that asked for $5 as you're trying to get into Walmart's heart. Don't inspect Derek's heart. Don't inspect Ed's heart. Well, inspect Ed's heart. But you don't expect anyone else's heart. You've got to let today's message, if it's for you, you've got to let it inspect your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray you rush in here this morning and inspire our hearts like only you can do. In Jesus' name. The title of my message is This Love That I'm Feeling? Is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? Come on, Marley fans, you're in church, I've started it. Is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? That's the question this morning. Is this love that I'm feeling? It's a big ask. Are we in love with God? Are you in love with God? Are you really? Here's a serious question. If you're really in love with him coming today, our title is really going to be more like this. I couldn't put it on there, but the alternate title would have been, is this love that I'm dealing? Is this love that I'm giving out really? Is this really the love that he asked for from me? Or is it the love I'm giving? Well, this is my style of love. It don't matter when it comes to God. You give his style of love to him when he asks for it. So is this love that I'm dealing? Is it? And if it's not, if you're sending love to someone who doesn't really, like there are melancholies, I won't point them out in this room, they're not like, when there's people that come to this church and they know they're melancholy the first time and they're going to get 4 hugs and never come back. So this church hugged way too much. Would you be hugging me like that? It'll make you uncomfortable, you know. But I'm telling you this morning, if you were to keep squeezing on that poor melancholy person, you are not loving them. You're not loving them. You're giving love how you want it, how you'd want to receive it, but that's not what they're asking for. I want to peel it back and say, let's take it that way with people around us, but let's take it to God that way this morning. Is it love that I'm really dealing here? That's the most important, honest question you're going to ask. What are you each dealing out to God and to others? Is it love? He did his part. Are we going to do our part? Is it love that I've been giving out to him? Really. So my two sermonettes that came this season before Easter, I really thought this today paired nicely with what Pastor Jody and Pastor Justin were dealing out. And then I rarely listen to messages. It's rare. It's not that I'm arrogant at times. I'm busy. I take 45 minutes and I much like to listen. I can't do anything else. Because if I'm going to listen, I'm going to listen, you know. Dr. Heidi can, like, do the laundry and, you know, make eggs with her feet and, you know, put a kid to bed and listen to a mess. I can't do that, you know. But I listen to one of my favorites, one of the guys that I, when he speaks, I have a tendency to listen. God bless you. I was listening to Pastor Francis Chan, and he just confirmed so much. These are some essential thoughts that we have to take into the resurrection. And over the past maybe 20 years, I've spoken on this topic, I feel like 20,000 times, but never feeling it like this. Never, never feeling it like this. So, is this love that I'm feeling? Can the side sing with me? Is this love, that I'm feeling? All right, you guys go. Is this love that I'm feeling? Come on, you get jazzy, woo, feeling. No one needs to funky on that side of the room. This is the funky side. All right, I'll know that from now on. All right. I know where the funky side is now. Okay. I was praying and I felt strong urge from God about this. And today I'm asking the big question. I want to build a word picture before you answer. Before you answer, you're in love. I'm going to build a lot of questions before you answer. Ever answer a question before the person's finished talking? You feel like an idiot when you're done? Anyone? If you'll just listen to me, I'm not asking if I want a Fig Newton. Right. Ever have that? This morning, I want us to hear it all before we answer the question. Are we in love as eager for Jesus, as eager for God as a bride who's been waiting to be married? Are we as eager for God as a bride that seems like she's been waiting forever for her groom? Are we as eager as the bride waiting on her actual wedding day, and it's prolonged like the 10 virgins waiting, eager? Can you imagine your wedding day? You marry people. Imagine it's like, okay, you're getting married today. Like, yeah. You know, there's guys that are like in the rooms like this. Like they're sweat and they can't wait. Like, I can't wait to be married. You know, and there's girls like, I've been waiting my whole life. And here's the pictures collage. We're all crying together. We had a big party. You know? Are we that eager? Is your love as amped up for him as that, as a bride? Waiting. Revelations 22 is not on there. Don't stress back there, humans. God makes the comparison between his spirit and the bride. Jesus spoke about the 10 smart virgins, the 10 foolish ones waiting on the groom. Some ran out of oil, so they lost the opportunity to be part of it all. Some ran out. How is your fuel for your fire doing for him, really? How is your fuel? How's your fuel? Doesn't matter how my fuel, doesn't matter how the church fuel is, doesn't matter how anybody's fuel around you is, how is your fuel? Right? Jesus was leaving. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you and I'm coming back. How many of you know he doesn't lie? He said, until then, till I come back, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and you can be empowered to do what? Signs, wonders, and miracles? No. That's frosting. How can that be frosting? He empowered us to do one thing, to be the church. Say on the church now. Look at somebody. Be nice. I'm looking at Mark. Ready? Say this. How's your fire? I got a picture. I just got a picture, I think. It's time to be quiet. Why I say shh? Because this next statement I really want us to pay attention to. This is a heartbreaking statement. But it's absolutely true. Go ahead and put that up for me. We cannot be his church if we are not really in love with him. Who wants to marry someone that doesn't love him? Who's not eager for that moment? Like, yeah, I went there, I got dragged, and being dragged, crying, I don't want to marry her. Get up there and marry her. I don't want to. See, that sounds like it's going to be a great marriage. Woo, that's happened in time, you know. We cannot be his church if we're not really in love with him. Who feels, and I mean this, who feels that you can feel that times are changing? Like you almost feel disturbed by it. It causes you to lose a little sleep. It causes you at work to lose a little distraction. Your mind is feeling it. Anybody, show me hands so I don't feel like I'm, oh, my, everybody, good, good. Right place, right time. Who feels like at least in the next 3 years, see more crucial than ever? Yeah, right? So think about what matters most between you and God then, if that's true. It is time to ask ourselves, am I in love? And is it the love that I've been dealing out that he wants? Because nothing else matters but the answer to that question. That's the only question that matters. It's the only one that's ever going to matter. Every other question falls short of that question. So my side note, we're required to express our love. If you read his word, he puts an emphasis on the importance of worship and praise. If you're not a praise and worshiper, I'd encourage you, get on it. Because love isn't love unless it's expressed. And sometimes praise and worship can be expressed in a lot of crazy ways. Some stuff I'm not comfortable with, like, I'm glad that's all going on over there. Don't whip me in the head with a flag. I'm not a flag guy. You're distracting me. But that doesn't mean it's not worship. But the problem is he doesn't just require worship from the people with instruments on stage or the pastoral staff. If you're in love with him, then you show him love the way he asks for it. And if, well, I just can't do that, then you're not in love. And if you're not in love, you're not part of the church. I told you this would be a grind this morning. And I'll get back over here because I'm getting eyebrows. Either way, real love must be expressed. Want to be in a relationship that you never get love expressed to you? Ever? Or every time they do it, it's not what I want. I just want a hug. I got this like widget collection. Bought me a widget. Thank you. Came on Amazon. Thank you, baby. Can I have a hug? No, I bought you 4 widgets. Okay. Is this love that I'm dealing? If you take notes, here'd be a good time to take note. Here's a good note if you want to take this one. 1, always give God what he asks for. Always give God what he asks for. Always give him what he asks for. Don't offer a substitute. You know, behind curtain number 2, God, though, if you pick that instead, I get some Ginsu knives. No, no. You don't need your Ginsu knives. Whatever he asks for is what he needs. And 2, love must be expressed. Always give God what he asks for, and love must be expressed. Is this love that I'm feeling? Time to get to scripture, right? Yes. Deuteronomy 6:5 in the New Living Translation. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart. With all your heart. And you must love the Lord your God with all your soul. With all your soul. And you must love the Lord your God with all your strength. So recap. His command. This is a command. Love with all your heart. With the totality of your heart. Does God get the central place in our life, in our heart? Is he our source, our life force? We're primarily fixed on him. Are we in love? Okay, so the question came this morning. I answered real quick, yes, that's that too. So yeah, look at everything. I laid down. You asked me to do this. I died that time. God, I've done, I've proven it. You asked some things, and then you help me out on some nice when I don't do it too great. Then you did this. And he said, but what if I were to ask you, like Abraham, you love Abraham? I love Abraham. He's my boy. Well, you couldn't ask me to sacrifice my son. No, don't ask me that. No. Well, he would never do that. It's pagan. No, but what if he said your son wanted to move to? Dude. Oh, about this one. What if he asked you to go, hey, why don't you leave everything you know that you're comfortable with? You love me with all your heart? You love me? Do you love me? Do you love me like I love you? Do you love me? Yeah. Then you leave everything you know and go to Mozambique and stay there the rest of your life and minister to children. Can he tell you that still? He used to be able to tell me that, but I had to say, I don't know if I can answer you. Shame. I was ashamed. What? Should he not be able to ask me? I went to him. I go, you asking me that? He said, no, but I just wanted you to know that you wouldn't have answered. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Show me my heart. Because you asked for all of it. And I thought I was giving you all of it, but if you ask me something I don't want to do, then I'm not giving you it at all. All of it or at all. Those are the choices. Is he our life force? God said, love with all your soul. Okay. Is your emotional, internal drive mostly focused on your relationship with him? Mostly. I'm mostly focused on the future. I'm mostly focused on how to take care of you all and to feed, do things right in my counsel. I'm mostly focused on that girl. And I'm mostly focused on, when I'm not focused on the things God asked me to focus on, I'm focused on the things I want to think about. But am I mostly focused? All my thoughts are primarily focused on God. If not, he said, it's not love that you're dealing. Yeah. It's a simple message, but you might need some water. Does God really get your best produce? Well, of course he does. Well, he says love him with all your strength. Does your life and what you produce in it, do you use it first to honor God? Or do you use it first to honor other stuff? Is he top? Or is the stuff we do with our produce the top? What's the top? It's physical. Does God really get our best produce? Are we in love with him? It's a big ask. It's the most important ask. Do you, not about we, let's take this. Do you love God? I got another slide. Are you currently committed to an all-consuming love relationship to God? Are you committed to an all-consuming love relationship to God? That's what he asked for. I will have no one else but me. No one you commit to me first. I'll have no other gods. You can't have a Heidi God in your life. Can't have a Sean God in your life. Can't have a kid God in your life. You can't have a thing God in your life. Can't have an Amazon God in your life. Can't have a I won't do that for you God in your life. It's a big ask. Are you currently committed to an all-consuming love relationship with God? It's a simple question, isn't it? Don't feel simple, is it? Am I in love? Has love been what I'm dealing? Let's see what Jesus has to say in Matthew. See, Jesus will know what God wants. Definitely will. Jesus replied, you must. Say you must. The church must. I must. We must. You must love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Your mind, yeah, that too. Your mind, is it time to refocus what we think about most? How many can honestly raise your hand and go, I think most about God all the time? Yeah. Okay. All the time, he's the most thing you think about? Listen, I'm melancholy compulsive. I got like 4,000 thoughts rolling through my head like a train. He's like 48% of them, but all of it? I got to work on that, Hallie. What we think on most, I think about the future the most. Anyone else? Yeah. Is it time now that he truly becomes your first love again? With all your heart, where your core is, right? With all your soul, the expression and the essence of you, completely engulfed in him. Your essence, your style, your flair, what you pursue out of your life, this is me. Is it the essence of God first? Or is it, no, I'm a sport coat guy. That's my label. No, I'm a Honda guy. No, I'm a Ford guy. No, I'm a Cardinal fan. No, I'm a dad. What is the essence of you? I'm a husband. I'm a father. That's awesome. But what is your essence? Is your soul all his? That's a hard question this week for me. But now I read he wants my mind, my thoughts, the things I ponder about, my intellectual abilities, focus mostly on him. I have a picture of your faces right now. I had him take it. Yeah. It's kind of how you look like. I'm like, yeesh, Pastor, that's crazy. You know, what are you talking about? I don't know. Oof, that's awkward. But if we got to inspect our hearts. Why? Because resurrection season's coming. And he is coming back. Do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? Do I consider him first? Is it love that I'm feeling? Let's take a quiet, awkward moment. I hope you ask. It's awesome if you did. Remember, many say, I've been packed out in youth arenas before. You guys that have been into any youth rallies before, I'll get this. You'll have kids across the street, across this amphitheater, massive going, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? The other side goes, like in a vicious gang war. We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you? And you're like, man, is there a brawl going to break out? Like, no, we love Jesus. Yes. And they're shouting it. And I bet you maybe 14% of those kids even know what that means. But they're shouting. So Christians, I love God doesn't mean anything what we shout with our mouth. What we focus our life on and what who he has and what he has in us and what we give to him proves if we love him. What we say is a small fraction of what love is. Right? My Facebook may shout, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. But my heart might be, he's not first. Can God ask anything from me still? Even if be a full-time missionary in Mozambique? God first in your each area without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt, is he first in every area? Is he trusted source? Do we meditate on him most? Are we maybe every day just hoping to accomplish what he has for us? That's our goal. We get up in the morning and go, God, what do you have me to accomplish today? I got this schedule. I got this responsibility. I got this. I got you, babe. Do we go, hey, before I ponder what I got to do you want to talk to me about what you'd like from me this morning? I live a life of schedule, and I wish I would do that every day, and I've been trying. Please really ask yourself, it matters. Do we love him? Here's a hard slide. We'll get that over with, too. Are we loving him like he desires? And like he deserves. Let's see what the Gospel of Mark has to say. Let's get into that. Mark 12:30. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Anyone see a theme developing? How about, here's a good key if you're like new to Bible reading. Here's an excellent key. Whenever God's word repeats a theme, it's muy, muy importante. Say muy importante. Some of you got to work on your Spanish accents, I'm telling you. Importante. No, it's not. Picante sauce. It's importante. Thank you. Is he first in every life category? Does he get our first anything or our best efforts anytime? Is this love that I'm dealing? Jesus asked a guy the greatest question of God's law. Luke 10:27. Jesus asked this guy. And the man answered, what's the greatest thing you can do? The guy goes, I got this. Since I was a kid, Old Testament, and what you've been slinging out here to the crowds, I got this, Jesus. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind. And the guy notes the very next thing that Jesus has been teaching the people. He's been listening. and love your neighbor as yourself. How you doing dealing love to your neighbor the way they want to be loved? I could get better. I don't love Amazon Prime very much. They come to my door and I think, I could find a better way. I should wear my sweatshirt when I pick up stuff on the door. It says, can I pray for you? Not like I want to paint a big sign, drop it off on the curb and keep rolling, you know, but I can't do that. It's not love. Plus, Dr. Heidi asked him to be there mostly, so. Honestly and sincerely ask yourself, what kind of love effort have you been making? Now, we always hear what kind of love effort's been making towards me. This is where, like, spouses get in trouble. We have a marriage conference coming up, and every spouse hears every message for their spouse. It just happens. I'm asking us not to let it happen. What kind of love effort have you been making towards the people around you and to God? Are you in love? Romans 13, 11. Do this. Pastor Paul just reminded them of God's big Ten Commandments, and then he says, do it. You're going to be my right side. You ready? Say, love has actions. Left side, say, it sure does. Sure does. Do this. Knowing that, we just all raised our hands earlier when I said this. We all felt this too. Knowing that this is not the future, not the past. Knowing that this is a critical time. Right now is the most critical time of your life. It's the only life you're guaranteed, the only meaning you're breathing right now, the only one you got. Meteorite could come from, you know, some crazy thing, and bang, we're gone. This is your most critical moment of your life. And if it wasn't for that, fear technique be gone. If it wasn't for that, I'm telling you by the prophetic word of God, this is one of the most critical seasons of your life. You want to hear God like nothing else during this season. You want him to be first like nothing else during this season. You want to give the love he's asked for during this season. You want to have that deep relationship cemented down this season. It's important. It did not say it's a time to be critical. It says it's a critical time. I'll say it again. He did not say it's a time to be critical. It's a critical time. Did he say it's a time to be critical? What did he say? It's a critical time. It's already the hour for you. What? It's already the hour for you. It's already the hour for you to awaken. You feeling it? Why? Because there's a new awakening coming. He's been trying to get a new awakening in our lives for a while. This is coming to an apex in your life. And he's pushing on. He's saying, I will have a breakthrough and I will be first. It's a critical time. Do you feel it? I have to have that space. It's time for you to awaken from your sleep of your spiritual complacency. Say, it's time to wake up. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. Anyone feel that urgency? Now is a good time to check on your own love level before you break down. Check your oil before you break down. Just saying. Is this love that I'm dealing? This one of the most famous passages I'm about to read. It's the one we think we apply most towards others. And I want us to think about it, yes, towards others, but I want you to think about it towards God first, all right, when I read it. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 13:1. If we speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I have a gift from God to pray in tongues, it comes from him. I'm not showboating. I'm not just feeling something crazy, so I'm doing something weird and just comes out of my mouth. I'm talking an actual tongue gift from God to pray in. And I do. And most of you have never heard it, but I pray every Sunday my prayer language. Even if he gives me that gift to the place where I'm speaking amongst 1,000 Pakistanians and they're hearing his own language, even if that happens, that miraculous thing, but I don't have love growing out of, if I don't have love for others growing out of God's love for me, then I have become only. Say only. Then I have become only a noising gong and a clanging cymbal. I have become just an annoying distraction. Is this love I am given? No, you're only a noisy distraction, an irritation, a sound that I can't stand. Who wants to hear that? This is an important question. This isn't just some thing we read at weddings or that we put on our walls or that we just quote that we know love, God, love is peace. No, this is about us examining our hearts during this critical season. If I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, this is what it feels like. I got it. That. Ah. Man. Getting me this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, 2 through 3. And if I have the gift of prophecy, I can read your mail and tell you everything God ever wanted to do in your life and did in your life. And I can have thousands come to my meetings and I speak the prophetic word of God over them. You know, Pastor Chan said it in a beautiful way, and it was ripping to the core. And I saw him almost want to burst into tears, and he said it 1,000 times. He's been speaking this message. And what he said was, he goes, the thing that it hit me in the face, he goes, if Jesus were to come back today and start a church, mine would be bigger than his. Because people would want to follow what I'm doing over here in my social and what I'm got going, what the church has got ramming, and we're the pop, he goes, and they wouldn't even be there. Mine would be bigger than his. Something's wrong with that. Here's a mega church pastor calling himself out, and I loved it. He said, that's not going to be me. If you have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains. I can have faith to move mountains, but don't have love for him and for others, I am nothing. Nothing. Is it love that I've been dealing? I better check. Why? Because if it's not, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, it looks like loving. They're actions. They're very important actions, right? But if my heart being right doesn't make it, then it's not love. And if I surrender my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it does me no good at all. Do we have love? Where's the love gone? Who else is getting the love? I say it again. Who else is getting the love? What else is getting the love? Do I look to get it from others more than I deal it out? Is there proof of love in this church today? And it matters because it's a critical time. If the world can't find love in the church, then we're done. Say, I am the church. Where's love got to be found? Right there. It's the most important question. And not only for them, God says, if you don't have that, you're an annoying nothing. Is this love that I'm feeling? Is there proof of love in my life during this critical time? So I am his church. Yeah. So we're asking ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. And love is not jealous or envious. Do you wait well? I'm not a good waiter. I can sometimes I'm decent. Like, I'm when we have people serving us at tables and stuff, I tip those guys good. You love seeing me come to the table. I take care of those folks. I try to show love that way. But if you ask me like to wait at a red light longer than it should be, or to turn on a yellow light when 4 other people should have been going, I'm not dealing love. How about this? Are you thoughtful or are you envious? Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. Love is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. Rude might be how you've been raised up that way, but blunt and bold is in love. That's tough because I come from a land of sarcasm. Italian sarcasm will hurt your heart. You can ask for a cookie from your grandma and go back with scars. I'm just saying, it ain't easy. Love's not rude, but we must go to work on our tude. Say, love's not rude, so I got to work on my tude. Yeah. It's rude to ignore whatever God asks us to do. That's rude. Love is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive. Love is not overly sensitive. Well, Kirsten hugged me, but she didn't hug me. I get a hug from Kirsten. I just felt, and Jeff talked to everybody but me. And I was, how come everybody loves, they really love the Dee Dee's cream puffs, and I never even touched my broccoli casserole. You'd be shocked the number of people that haven't come back here because they didn't get a hug from me at the door, and I've been there what it felt to me like 17 hours. I'm telling the truth. I know it's making her nervous, but that's true. Pastor Justin said, we don't need to be milk babies. And if you're overly sensitive, the other person doesn't need to fix themselves. We do. Because that's not love. It's a clanging cymbal. Love's not self-seeking. It's not provoked, not overly sensitive. Love is not easily angered. Say, ouch. I won't show that picture again, I promise. Love does not take into account a wrong endured. I'm going to lose all my treasure in heaven, but I'm doing it to help you. And I mean this with all my heart. One of my tasks when I go to Samoa next is to forgive a $4,000 debt that was stolen from me, to go to that guy, hug him, and say, it's good. Well, it took the Holy Spirit going, chipping everything off that didn't look like David, you know? Yes, Father. But if I'm going to be in love with him, I got to learn to do better, to not take into account wrongs endured. Trust me, Italian. I made my kids watch The Quiet Man. It's a good movie. I can say it behind the pulpit. The original Quiet Man with the original Quiet Man. And there's a line in it that says, there's a guy, when he gets mad, you're like in a fight with him, say Honduran in a fight. And I'd say, Dr. Heidi, write Alejandro's name in a book and strike a line through it. Strike a line through it forever. I will not speak. Remind me. I get that way. I got bad service at Starbucks. I won't be back. I said to Kirsten, strike a line through it. I can be that way. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Based on that, are you in love? God sure is. We're going to talk about next week how in love God is. He broadcasted what Jesus was going to do for us. So next Sunday is a broadcast of what his love was going to do. Not today, though. Today we're examining our hearts. He sent Jesus to the cross and to his death. He proved it. He shouldn't have to prove it again. And then think of all the things, if you've known Jesus, anybody known Jesus more than like 6 months? Think of all the things he's done in your life up to that point. Besides what he did, just think of what he's done, right? He's proved it. But are we in love? Is this love that I'm feeling? 1 Corinthians 13, 7-9. Love bears all things regardless of what comes. Believes all things. Looking for. Not a critical spirit. See, you come in, look, oh, come in here, and I can't believe the ushers didn't have matching uniforms, and that pastor's got a hat on stage, and I don't know, that's orange carpet. Okay. Not a critical spirit. It's critical time. We got to look for the best in things sometimes. Look for Jesus in the moment. In the midst of your storm, find where he is. Everyone sees the storm. Look for the best in each other. It hopes all things. Remain steadfast during difficult times. Alejandro, say, come on now. See? Love endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades or ends. How's your spark? Honestly, how is your spark for God? Well, I'm just a tiny little spark. Good. This is a season to pour some gasoline on that spark. You start loving him like nobody's business. You start giving what he asks for. Watch your spark begin to grow for him and others. And that fire will change the world. That's what they call revival. It's not in a place. It's in a who love God and where he's first. And that becomes infectious because they start seeing God in your life and you want that. You start hungering for that. And people start seeing the love of God in your life. And you start going through these things. We sing that song, I'm not what I used to be. Bang! That's a billboard. Right? Love never fails. It never ends. But as for prophecies, they're going to pass away. For tongues, they're going to cease. As for the gift of special knowledge, it's going to pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete. I think we should read that again. Just in case we ever feel like we know everything. Like you want to answer the question before the person finishes talking. Come on. How many of us with our hands think we're know-it-alls and lots of times? Yeah. It's a problem with humans, you know? For we know in part, we prophesy in part, we got to own it. We have to admit things sometimes. If you want God to break your heart, you got to go, yes, that's my bad. That's confessing your sin. Yeah, that's not what he asked for. He's going to get it. He's been asking me for it. I'm going to give it to him. Why? Because he's been asking me for it. Why didn't he ask Jeff for it? Because he didn't ask Jeff for it. He asked me for it. It's time for his church to grow and mature. I got a good slide coming. You ready? And we're still early. I'm doing good. It feels long, doesn't it? It feels heavy. You feel hot? Pastor, is the AC off? What is going on in here? They should have Pastor Justin preach more. It's time for a church to grow and mature. I got a slide. Don't be immature when maturity is expected from you. Don't be immature in your life when maturity should be expected from you by now. Don't be immature when maturity is expected from you. Are you in love or is it baby love maturity? Baby love, it's all about me. Here's a note, if you're taking notes again. Don't be a baby when a man or woman is required. Don't be a baby when a man or woman is needed. Don't be a baby when a man or woman is needed. Right? God's mature love is powerful in us. We should let it mature us. These things that have like kept us from these places have kept us immature. Because we won't accept it and grow with it and go, I got to work on that. He's got to be first in that area. I'm going to give him that. Why? I'm going to grow up and be mature. Man, you know what mature people do? They reproduce. That's part of maturing, you know? 1 Corinthians 13:10-11. But when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. You ready for this? When I was, say was. When I was a child. We got to grow. It's time to mature. If we don't want to be seen as a child, then it's time to grow. If you don't want to be seen as a child, then it is time to grow. Time to mature in all our areas, especially for me. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. When I was a child, I thought like a child. When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. Anybody feel that? They're childish things we think about more than we think about the childish thing. That's okay. Don't hang your tail and go, I'm childish. That's the bad response. Man, church was tough today. You're going to get a chance to respond later. And I hope this was my fear. This could be a lead balloon. Going to go over because no one's going to respond because no one's going to. This is not pressure, but there's often this pride that makes us go, I can't respond to that because I said he's first and they've seen my Facebook post and I have given all these things. But if he hasn't pushed on some button of your heart right now, I'm saying it's not because he's not pushing. Please hear my love as a pastor, but it's because you're not listening. And if we can't respond when he's gently touching these things he wants during this critical season, then how are we going to survive when real persecution comes? How? It takes a full-grown man. And that's more than just in stature and in strength. It's putting away childish things. See, real love is grown up. Real love is not selfish. You know, God deserves and he requires and he commands that he be loved first. And you pick your area that he's talking to you about. Pick your area. Seek for the refocus. These are the moments that, honestly, these are moments in history. There's some people that he's asking something for you. This will change the course of your destiny. Like, these are the moments that should unravel our lives. You were one direction, and all of a sudden, you saw Jesus and what he loved you, and if you give him that, he's going to completely alter the course of your life. The things that used to kick the snot out of you anymore aren't going to be able to, but you got to give him what he asked for. This is the season. This is the season. I feel it. I got to tether myself back in here, because as pastor, you got to worry about not being emotional. And being believable and being really in and not being overboard. To be in spirit, the truth is hard for me sometimes. Because sometimes when I hear these messages, I just bawl through them. And I have to point out the stuff where he's not first, and it makes me ashamed. And I have to respond because I love him. I'm hoping you love him too. It's time to seek to please him first. So we should examine ourselves. So I'm going to ask if you'd like to respond. I'm not going to lead you in what you should say. I don't know if Dr. Heidi has music. I don't know. But I feel like if he has been talking to you, I want you to take at least, if not this moment, the one you're given, take this week and seek him like never before. It's crucial. He wants to rise in us again. There's another level of rise in your life he is looking for. You won't be losing anything you give to him. You will not lose. That he won't replace with what he wants you to have. And what he wants you to have is better than what you got. It's critical time. So if you want to fall in love again, maybe as an act of stretching yourself, you can sit there and raise your hand. You can stand up. I'm going to stand this way. And I should turn the music up for me and start it again, Jesse. Because I want a moment of worship. I need him. You need him. This isn't church as usual. We're going out. I'm going to go to the door and we're going to hug and talk. And I'm going to talk the NCAA basketball and how Duke got beat. And I'm going to love that. But right now is one of those moments where you go, I don't want my heart to be hard anymore. And you can ask me anything. So if you want to join me, you can stand with me or you can sit there. And if you don't, you can close your head and bow it. And if you need to leave, please just do it quietly, because some of us really just need this minute with God.